This is Tangents.
My name is Caleb Grayman. I am the writer and host of Briz Quiz Trivia, an independent trivia company in Brisbane, Australia. I'm hopeful today that I can find myself on some tangents covering perhaps the periodic table or 1990s Simpsons.
What is the best thing to eat in Brisbane?
Brisbane, Australia's got a wonderful multicultural heritage. So as far as actual Australian foods go, our national dish could be argued to be a sausage folded in a slice of white bread with some sauce on top. But if you do find yourself in Brisbane, because we've got such an international community, we do some amazing foods from all over the world. Recently, I tucked into some really nice Japanese-style dumplings at a small place before going out for drinks with my partner. But you can get great Thai food. My favorites, there's some wonderful Mongolian barbecue places around, not as many as there used to be. They were a big thing back in Brisbane in the early 2000s. But you can load up your bowl with fresh meats and vegetables, and they'll cook it on one of those big hot plates for you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, delicious. Yep.
Movie soundtrack. What's your favorite movie soundtrack?
Well, look, I've been listening to your show religiously since it started. Huge fan of the show.
Thank you.
And I cannot believe that no one yet has mentioned what I feel. Now, all right, maybe I'm a little bit biased because I saw it when I was a young, impressionable kid in the big cinema, surround sound. But Prince of Egypt is just a mind-blowing soundtrack. Love it. Yes. Yeah.
Not just When You Believe, the big hit from that, the Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston song.
Yeah.
Which I'm pretty sure won the Best Original Song Oscar.
Well, it would be deserved. Yeah, yeah.
I know it was a top 40 hit. Yeah. I think there may have been another song or two that was a top 40 hit from that soundtrack. But just overall, yeah, great. Steve Martin and Martin Short are on it.
Yes, they have a great song about the Egyptian gods. I've actually managed to learn a lot of Egyptian god names for trivia thanks to that one song.
Yeah.
Very handy.
Isn't it interesting the places you find study guides?
Yeah, I've always been an impressionable youth. As a child, I used to bring stuff up, and my parents would be like, "Where did you learn that?" I'd say, "Oh, it was on The Simpsons."
Hey, whatever it takes.
I would have been about 7 years old when I started using the word psychosomatic because of one episode.
There you go. What pop culture thing are you into right now?
Pop culture and me—we sort of just dabble. I guess the last big thing I've done, finally got round to marathoning all of the Harry Potter movies. My stepson, he's 12, and he decided to watch them. We made it a big family event, so I'd always stalled at around the end of Goblet of Fire every time I started watching, but finally made it to the end and saw how it all finished and
powered through. Yeah. What is your favorite piece of trivia that sticks with you or that you're able to drop on other people? You do host a pub quiz, the Briz Quiz.
That is correct, yeah.
In Brisbane. What do you find comes up a lot for you or that you just find a fun fact?
Well, because I write my own material these days, went full-time on this crazy world of being a trivia writer and host a couple of months back, I find that I skim across everything at a very surface level. I try to write a very accessible quiz, but for that reason, combined with the wonders of attention deficit disorder, I find that my favorite piece of trivia can change from day to day. At the moment, sure. I've been musing on something I discovered recently, which was the debacle of the design of Olympic medals and how way, way, way back in 1928, they established a design that became the pattern for years to come. And it wasn't until Sydney hosted the Olympics in the year 2000 and a nice gentleman came up with a medal design that it started to cause a bit of issue that was finally resolved in Athens in 2004, which is that the Olympic Games, being Greek, had a Roman Colosseum on the medal design for decades. And where it becomes really fun is that it only became an issue when the Greeks raised objection at the Sydney Olympics, but the original design for the medal didn't even have the Colosseum on it, had the Opera House instead. And the Olympic committee said, no, you gotta appeal to tradition. It's gotta harken back to that 1928 design. So he did, he changed it. He put the Colosseum on it. And that's when everyone decided to get up in arms that it shouldn't have a Colosseum at all. So since 2004, it's had a Greek stadium built into the design, which I think is far more appropriate.
That is great. Well, now I'm going to remember that. Where do you quiz? Do you play?
I get very little chance to play these days.
I find the same thing.
I'm hosting a lot. It's a shame. One of my weekly events is on hiatus at the moment while the venue is doing some renovations. So I got to get out and play at a local club recently, try some new format. But what little I do is generally relatively informal things online now, or the only formal quizzing I'm doing on a regular basis is the World Trivia Federation, which is written and managed by Jay Borsum, who you had on a few episodes ago. Jay had a short sabbatical recently and opened her doors for guest writers on the World Trivia Federation. So I had the opportunity to contribute 10 questions in Jay's style, which was very fun to write. She's very talented to be able to put out 3 quizzes a week in that very deep style.
They were great. I played your quiz and it was fantastic. So nice job.
Oh, thank you.
You say you kind of have a casual relationship with pop culture. What's the last movie you saw in a theater?
After maybe 2 years of not visiting the cinema, I did go this year. It took my partner, having seen an ad on the side of a bus and knowing absolutely nothing about it other than, that looks cool. We went to see Argylle.
Oh, okay. And what did you think?
I loved it. I'm disappointed that it hasn't done well with the critics, who couldn't realize that it was not intended to be in any way a serious movie. If you go in there expecting an absolute farce, it's brilliant, in my opinion. My partner opened my eyes to all of the conspiracy theories behind the scenes about, was it written by Taylor Swift? Is it meant to represent this or that? And the post-credit scene also suggested at some interesting links. So I'm curious to see whether the studios will green light it to continue.
Interesting. I haven't seen it yet, so I will have to check that out.
Well, I won't give any spoilers, but
okay, good.
As long as you don't go in expecting a serious spy movie, I think you'll have fun.
I will not. Okay. Do you listen to any non-trivia podcasts?
No, no time for that. My world is trivia. My job is trivia. My hobby is trivia.
Yeah, everything trivia. Speaking of trivia, and you write all your own content for the Briz quiz, I think you'll find that most quiz setters will use Wikipedia from time to time. What's the last thing you looked up on Wikipedia?
What did I come across most recently? Looking at my web history, the most recent Wikipedia page I have up is Wojciech Piatronik, who happens to be a Polish gentleman who designed the Sydney Olympic Games medal. So it's no surprise, given our discussion before, that would be the most recent page I had open.
I love it. And that'll be in the show notes. All right, we've covered all that. Let's talk about Briz Quiz. How did it start? What has been the progression of the quiz? And I think you have more than one venue, right?
Yeah, it's been a fun journey. I started my engagement in the world of trivia, as many people do, just as a casual host for a big company over here. I took over from another host at the same venue, so we played under her. She needed someone to fill in for her 1 week, and it ended up that when she moved on to married life and other study, I took over. 8 years later, in the course of things, one of my venues had contacted me to say, we've got such overwhelming demand for our Wednesday night trivia. Can we get something for a Thursday night as well, targeted at a younger demographic? And I was like, I could probably write you something for that. Been doing it long enough, I understand. And around 3 or 4 months later, another venue contacted me. Manager had worked with me at a previous venue, said, hey, we've got people asking for a trivia. I was like, oh, I've just started writing trivia. Sure, I'll do that. I got in way over my head very quickly, and I've been finding my feet since. But it's been great to find a community of similar independent trivia writers online. We've had lots of good discussions, and my style has developed, and I take great pride in what I do. To the point where I've had a couple of competitive quizzers who they do your Learned League and your International World Quizzing Championships and things, they take their quizzing very, very seriously. And I've got a couple of them coming along to my groups. And the gentleman who is the head of an organization called Quizzing Australia, who oversees the management of competitive quizzing events in Australia, he came to my event and he said, "You've got really good questions." Wow. So I was very, very touched. I've had another competitive quizzer walked out and went, "I've tried most of the quizzes in Brisbane." He didn't say it to me, he said it to the general crowd who was walking up, but I overheard him say, "I've tried most of the quizzes in Brisbane, and BrizQuiz is the best." So
nice.
I love what I do.
That should go on your social media.
It should. It should. I've been meaning to add a testimonials page to my website for some time. Maybe I should do that this week.
You really should. Hey, get the word out. Of course, it'll be in the show notes. The links to all your socials will be in the show notes. So,
well, hopefully I'll get the links to this podcast on my socials as well. We'll develop your international listener base. It's a great show. Great show.
Thank you. All right, Caleb. Speaking of trivia, are you ready to make your quiz?
Yes, I am.
Okay. The game is simple. I'll start you off with a question, answer correctly, and you get to choose the topic for the next question based on a set of tangents from your answer. Keep answering correctly to stay in the game. If you don't know an answer, it's not the end of the world. You're allowed to miss two questions and carry on, but once you miss your third, the game is over. We're going to pick the game up where Luke left off with this question. What well-known character made his first appearance in a 1939 story by Robert L. May for Montgomery Ward Department Stores?
I have something in the back of my mind telling me that's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
It is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And that correct answer gets you these tangents. The 1930s, characters, retail, or firsts?
Ooh, I was crossing my fingers for something Christmas to come up. Ooh, history's not strong for me, particularly American history.
Sure.
My experience as a listener on the show tells me to probably steer away from retail and advertising because that's a world I'm not familiar with being a foreigner. I will go with let's go with firsts. Firsts, please.
Okay. Yeah. You got it. Here we go. In 1497, Portuguese explorer Vasco da Gama became the first navigator to sail around what rocky landmass near the southern tip of Africa?
So I tried to avoid history and I got a very historical question, but I was recently reading about the old explorers like Columbus and Da Gama. And so southern tip of Africa, well, it's got to be the Cape of Good Hope.
It is the Cape of Good Hope. And that gets you to 2 points and gets you these tangents. Good, the 1400s, explorers, or more firsts?
Let's try good. That seems like a nice wide open field.
Yeah, doesn't get any more broad than that. Here we go. Actress Billie Burke landed what career-defining role 1 year after earning an Oscar nomination for her part in the 1938 film Merrily We Live?
I made a poor choice. Billie Burke is not a name I've heard of, but if it's a career-defining role in the late 1930s, what characters could it be? It's not clear whether it's TV or cinema role, but I guess... Hang on. 1939 was the year of Wizard of Oz, and I know that Billie Burke didn't play Dorothy, so I'm going to take a guess. This might be the Wicked Witch of the West.
You were right there. You got so far.
Oh, no.
The category, the tangent name, might have helped.
Oh, it was good, wasn't it?
And it's Glinda the Good Witch.
Of course.
Glinda the Good Witch.
I forgot the category. Yeah.
That's all right.
Well, hey, you got that out of your system. And now we carry on with these tangents. Good, roles, Oscars, or 1930s films?
Let's try good again. Could be my downfall, but
good again.
Maybe we got the hard one out of the way.
Well, we'll find out. The 2005 single Feel Good Inc. reached number 14 on the Billboard Hot 100 before winning a Grammy and two MTV Video Music Awards for what British band?
The decade of the 2000s is a bit of a black spot in my music knowledge for some reason. I emigrated from England in 1999, so up till 1999, my knowledge of British bands is pretty good. Feel Good Inc. rings a bell. The only British band that's sort of coming to mind from that era is McFly. And I'm now... let's go with McFly. Yeah, lock it in.
Unfortunately, it's not McFly. It is Gorillaz. Gorillaz, the Blur offshoot. Damon Albarn. Still get the categories. Good. 2000s music, Billboard, or awards. I think we know what you want to avoid since you said 2000s music is a black spot.
Absolutely. And the Billboard charts, that's very American. So that could be hit or miss. Some songs do very well around the world and some don't. Whoa, this could be your shortest episode so far, Russ. I knew going in it was going to be a, if I could get on a good streak, I could do it. But let's try our luck on awards, another big broad category that could go well or could go poorly. Let's see.
Well, we'll find out. 12 years after winning an Oscar for her role in The Reader, what actress added an Emmy for playing the title character on HBO's Mayor of Easttown?
There was a billboard not far from my house advertising Mayor of Easttown on one of our streaming services out here. And I'm trying to remember whose face was on it. And I know it's a reasonably big name actress. The Reader doesn't help. I don't recall that movie at all. It wasn't... I'm going to have to commit to something, but I'm going to regret it. Was it Kate Winslet?
No. It certainly was Kate Winslet. Nice job.
Finally. Took a while to pull out, but there it was.
Doesn't matter how long it takes, as long as it comes. Your tangents based on that, Oscars. Oh, boy. These are going to be stacked against you. 2020's TV, Emmys, or Pennsylvania?
What do I know about Pennsylvania? Home to M. Night Shyamalan. That's about it. 2020's TV's probably my best bet as long as it's something that's made it to screens out on this side of the world. Oscars, I like to think I know about the Oscars, but recent trivias I've done have told me I don't know them as well as I should. Coin flip. Let's, having listened to the show before... I'm probably safer answering questions about movies than TV. So let's go Oscars.
Oscars, okay. Gregory Peck won his only acting Oscar for playing what character in the 1962 film To Kill a Mockingbird?
We found ourselves a good question. I can answer this one confidently. That was a brilliant role, brilliant movie, brilliant actor playing Atticus Finch.
It is Atticus Finch, correct. And that gets you these tangents. Birds, Oscars, 1960s films, or characters?
All sounds so intimidating when you're actually sitting in the hot seat. Let's try Oscars again.
Oscars again. What role, which has also been played by Bette Davis twice, Agnes Moorehead, and Cate Blanchett, among others, earned Judi Dench the 1998 Best Supporting Actress Oscar despite just 8 minutes of screen time?
Sometimes the gods of trivia synchronicity do smile, because 2 weeks ago I wrote a round comparing Dame Judi Dench and Dame Maggie Smith, and happened to therefore read about Judi Dench winning an Oscar for playing Elizabeth I in Shakespeare in Love in 1998.
Shakespeare in Love, you took my flavor text, that's right, Elizabeth I. And that gets you the following tangents, roles, 1990s films, Oscars, or royalty?
Ooh, now I'm feeling a bit more on solid ground. Oscars has served me well. 90s films is 50-50 of being confident or not knowing. Royalty is another interesting option. Growing up in the UK, if it's about the British royalty, I did learn bits and pieces of that. Let's stick with Oscars.
Sticking with Oscars. Okay. The plot of what 2019 Oscar-winning film involves someone landing a job as an art therapist by posing as a girl named Jessica, an only child from Chicago?
This should be an easy question. should be, how long, 5 years ago. So 2019 Oscar-winning film. I'm trying to think the best picture winners recently, and I can never get them to stay in my head. But The Art Therapy, I haven't seen any best picture winners since Parasite. But Coda, Children of Deaf Adults, sounds like something that may feature an art therapist character. So I will take a guess at Coda.
You'll take a guess at Coda. The correct answer is one that you just said.
Oh, no.
Before you said Coda.
Is it Parasite?
It is Parasite.
Really?
Yeah. As they're getting ready to interview, she's practicing the line, Jessica, only child, Illinois, Chicago.
How ironic that I said yeah. It's the only one I've actually watched, and I didn't exactly. Even remember that rather significant plot point. Oh, my.
Exactly. Yes.
Well.
So that, unfortunately, brings an end to the game. You made a good run of it, especially for being at a disadvantage content-wise. I'd love to have you on again now that you're comfortable with the format. So if you're open to it, happy to have you back in the future.
Would love to. Maybe we'll find a good track next time.
I hope so. Yeah, maybe we'll find some Simpsons. Anything you want to plug? Obviously, I know one thing you want to plug. So anything you want to plug or shout out before we say goodbye?
Well, if anyone is listening from the city of Brisbane, we have currently 3 events a week running Briz Quiz Trivia, quality handcrafted questions every week, and fun bonus games as well. You'll find us at Carindale Hotel on Tuesdays, the Kenmore Tavern on Thursdays, and we will be returning to the Sherwood Football Club in Chelmer on Mondays once they've completed their renovations. We're also looking at opening a couple of new venues in the lead up, so keep your eye on brizquiz.com. For those of you who aren't in Brisbane, come and see us for the Olympics if you want in a couple of years' time. We're working hard to make the city beautiful for you. Those internationally, I guess the other shout out I want to make is if you someone who there's a lot of neurodivergence in the world at the moment. If you're someone who feels like maybe you do have something that puts you on the spectrum, I would thoroughly encourage you to go speak to a doctor, get some diagnosis and help, because I have in the past, last year, life changing to be just able to function appropriately and manage my neurodivergence in a better way. It's been really good. So don't be shy to ask for help or diagnoses if you think you need them.
Great message. Thank you, Caleb.
It's been a delight to be here. Sorry I couldn't rack up a higher score, but maybe next time.
That's what next time's for. That's right. I look forward to having you back on.
All the best to you and your listeners, Russ. Bye-bye.
Thanks to Caleb for playing, and thank you for listening. Be sure to check the show notes for more info. Subscribe if you haven't already, and spread the word. We'll see you next week.